Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
The Carrie and Tommy podcast begins in just seconds. Powered by Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah.
And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say,
thank you for being a friend.
It's the one and only
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is. Welcome to your Wednesday afternoon. How are we doing, guys?
You should be nervous today.
Why?
Because we are bringing on our first, actually second, two of our first roasters who are going to roast you.
Ooh,
in the roast of Tommy Little.
That's so exciting.
And if anyone's ever thought what it would be like to live with Tommy, one of our roasters has spent a lot of time in your house living with you. I think he may even have been in your bedroom.
You got one of my dogs?
And he's going to reveal all later in the show.
They are vicious.
And they do know some secret stuff.
What else have you got coming up today?
There is heaps coming up today because the time game is back and we have ticked over 3,000 bucks.
Amazing.
So that's pretty good. But up next, you know how when you think of like proposals and you think it'll be the most romantic time in your life? I caught up with a friend last night and he decided to propose in a location overseas that, let's just say, caused more problems than it did
joy.
Joy, yes, that's next.
Carrie and Tommy.
And Bick, is so much still to come on the show. As I said, time game. Also, you have our first roasters to present for
also,
the...
very, very soon, something that gives me the biggest ick. And I saw it online. We need to discuss it.
Ooh.
Am I alone?
Okay. But right now, I caught up with a friend last night, and my friends don't have a great track record when it comes to proposing. Some do. But
didn't they get no's, or just what they choose to do is not that interesting?
I haven't had a friend have a no. Have you had a friend have a no?
Actually, no. No.
I used to love, I saw this twice on Ellen, because you know how people used to propose on Ellen like quite often. And when they would say no, it was brilliant because all they did was crank the music up and made everyone keep dancing and went to an ad break.
Did you see that it was a no?
You just saw the person not say yes. And then Ellen's like, get the music. And it just starts dancing through the crowd.
Surely you have to be that confident if you're going to do it on a national TV show.
Don't you reckon they're also just going to say yes and then back out?
Completely.
Absolutely.
It's a pretty funny joke if you pretend to go to say no on national TV. And then as soon as you're off here, you go, I'm joking, babe, obviously.
Of course.
I love you.
But national humiliation. So what happened with your mate?
So my mate proposed. She said yes, but they were going away together, and he thought, "Oh, how beautiful and wonderful to propose overseas."
Very stock standard. A lot of people do that.
Stock standard,
Jesus, isn't it?
Christ.
Don't you think?
Women are very hard to impress.
No, I just think
overseas stock standard.
No, I just mean.
But
there's
then
nothing
we ask for a night in at home,
that.
And you're like, "Oh, we never go away."
I just think that's often the go-to.
It's cliche.
Women know when they're going overseas with someone they've been together for a long time, there's a slight chance a proposal might happen.
So does that mean you just don't, if you don't want to marry the person, just don't go overseas with them?
No, I just think that I'm just letting you know that so far in this story, yep, stock standard.
Okay,
give me something.
Give you what?
Where it takes a turn. I'm fascinated where it takes the turn.
I haven't even been
there. There better be a twist in here.
I know. So I looked up a list of the most romantic places to propose. Paris is up there.
Yeah.
New York City is up there. Of course, the Maldives is up there. Venice is up there. Where I don't see on the list.
Where did he propose?
Copenhagen.
Oh.
Now.
Is he like ice cream? What's
What's that?
Isn't it Copenhagen ice cream?
Haagen-Dazs? What's Copenhagen ice cream?
I thought it was an ice cream.
Is it Haagen-Dazs?
I know there's Haagen-Dazs.
Is Haagen-Dazs in Copenhagen?
Did she say yas? Haagen-Dazs.
So he thought that'd be wonderful. And I don't know anything about Copenhagen except it's in Denmark. And
sounds
it looks
fun.
Quite pretty. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. So you've turned already because this was stock standard
it's
before.
It's still stock standard, but sounds fun.
Okay. And then he got to Copenhagen and realised that he also didn't know anything about Copenhagen. And because they were away together, he couldn't really find out anything about Copenhagen on his own.
Because
they're doing together. Right. So he had to go out for runs and try and look for something that looks like it might be a proposal spot. And then when that kind of, he wasn't covering enough ground of Copenhagen quick enough, he started just literally asking people in the street,
Where
should I propose? And he said he got given some places that were like the most romantic places. And he went to the first one and he said, there must have just been someone deeply religious because they just gave me a church. And he goes, I'm not really religious. And this is, and he said, but he took her to this church.
What, thinking it might be beautiful enough to be the spot.
And he got there and he said, it was a pretty bog standard church. And he looked around and he went, this means nothing to
stock standard,
either of us. And so then he just had to say to her, well, I guess we're done having a look at the church. I said, do you guys visit Chesley Tovern? He goes, never. No. And then he goes down to his next one on his list, and it was this castle on a hill that overlooked the valley, oldest castle in
amazing
in Copenhagen. And he goes, this place, this one, he looked at a picture, he goes, this will be perfect. So he texted that. That was closed for renovation. And so, and then he proposed at the restaurant.
Oh, wow. I could have just done that at home and saved all the cash.
No, I mean, they were going to Haagen-Dazs anyway. So.
Remember I told you about a girl that I used to work with whose husband proposed to her. His plan was to propose to her at the top of the Eiffel Tower, and she's scared of heights. And he forced her all the way up there, and she took one step out, and then she was like, I can't do it, and crouched down on the floor. And as he got out, though, and as the doors of it closed, he threw her the ring box and said, I was going to propose up here. And it's like, mate, think about the person you're like proposing to before cracking it, that she's scared of heights and at the top of the Eiffel Tower doesn't want your proposal. Like, you got to pivot. That's like it. Your mate did. Great
pivot. Pivot.
Pivot sometimes.
Here's what I want to know. On your proposal, did you have to pivot? And like my mate, did you have to even pivot maybe a few times? I'd love to hear about your proposal pivots. Give us a call, 131060.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy, the time game is coming up very soon. It's worth $3,100.
Yes, but right now we are talking about proposal pivots because my mate went overseas to propose to his wife-to-be now, and the first place didn't know anything in the city because they were overseas, and the first place he got recommended to do it was just a bog-standard church. He's not religious, and so he got there and went, why are we here? Then he found this castle that was on a hill overlooking water. He thought that would be perfect. That was closed for renovation. And so then
just popped the
question
at the
restaurant. G'day, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Did you have a proposal pivot?
Yeah, so when my husband was proposing to me, he took me on a road trip up to Byron Bay and he kept taking me to like all of these nice restaurants and things, but I was pregnant and had really bad morning sickness. So I kept complaining because I couldn't eat anything nice. Oh. And then one night I ended up having this big meltdown because I thought he was going to propose to me and he didn't. And I was like, you just need to make the right moment. You can't just wait for it. So then we were fishing the next day. And he goes off to his ute and he comes back and he's got squid all over his fingers and gets down on one knee and he's like, I heard you when you said, I just need to make the moment. So I'm making the moment now. And he proposed to me with fishy fingers.
And did you immediately barf everywhere, Kim, with your morning sickness?
No, but I was like, you better not be doing this because I cried last night.
So, Kim, did you have to wipe squid ink off the ring?
Not ink, but it needed a good wash, yeah.
That's a tricky little conundrum you've put him there in, and this is a very female thing to do, Kim. You cried because he hadn't proposed yet, and then when he proposed, you said, you better not be doing this just because I cried last night. It's a little circle of confusion, isn't it?
He did have the ring, though. He didn't leave it at home, so
okay,
he was going to do it anyway. Okay.
Good on you, Kim. Thank you. G'day, Peter.
Hey, guys.
Hey, did you have a proposal pivot?
Yes, it's a kind of a similar, in a way, to your story, Tommy.
Yeah.
My wife and I were backpacking, and I planned throughout the trip to propose at the Eiffel Tower, and we're going to go up the Eiffel Tower, and I was going to propose there. Anyway, we got there, and when my wife looked at the price to go up the Eiffel Tower, she said, there's no way we're paying that money to go up Eiffel Tower. We had this massive argument. The argument went for days. Wound up, we're in Stockholm, and we decided that we're breaking up, and she was going home, and I was going to travel. We're having this conversation in McDonald's in Stockholm. And so I decided, well, rather than break up, why don't we get married? So I proposed in Stockholm McDonald's.
And did you say yes?
That's not a Stockholm standard proposal, is it?
Not a positive pivot, but it's become a legendary story in the family, and we often get reenactments from McDonald's with people going, is this where it happened?
How long have you been together, Peter?
Yes, 30 years in November.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Not done, Pete. Peter, you're not alone. I have a friend, he didn't propose in Macca's, but he just dropped the ring in the takeaway bag of Macca's. And when I said why, he goes, "My missus, she just loves Macca's. Like, she loves a cheeseburger." So I thought, how good. She'll get to have a cheeseburger. And then at the end of her cheeseburger, she sees a wedding ring. That's perfect.
Her two favourite loves.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's great. Good on you, Pete. Thank you.
What about there? Wendy? Hey, Wendy.
Hey.
What's your proposal pivot? Was it one done to you?
Well, look, my now husband, he proposed to me twice. And I actually said no both times because I just wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready.
Both times.
I know.
And then he went a third time.
Oh, I proposed to him.
Oh.
How did you pop the question, Wens?
Very randomly, I sat a little piece of engraved jewellery next to his dinner one evening, and we sat down for dinner and he said, well, what's this? I said, well, if you open it, you'll find out. And he opened it and it said, marry me. And he said, I'm going to consider my options.
In the times that you said no, Wendy, was it public? Like,
no.
No, there was no, it wasn't,
no.
He wasn't on a knee in a public place.
No, no. No, I couldn't have done that.
Did it make it weird after the no each time to just go back to life? Like, how long between the no's?
How long between the no's? There was probably a good about 6 months.
Oh, is that him in the background?
Yeah, yeah. We're in the car.
I feel like you should ask him if he wants to come on the radio, and then we can say no to him as well.
Carrie and Tommy. Happy Wednesday, Arvo. It's Carrie and Tommy. Coming up after 4 o'clock, we're going to meet our first roaster, the roast of Tommy Little.
Of course, it's a money can't buy experience. If you do want to get tickets, carrieandtommy.com.au.
But right now we are in the middle of a very important week.
Guess who's back again.
The beanies are back.
4 days left to order your beanie for delivery in June. If you're thinking right now, it's not beanie weather. No, we're all aware it's not beanie weather. It's hat weather, which you can also get online at carriesbeaniesforbraincancer.com. If you're in a part of the world that never gets cold, a cap is for you. But if you know it's going to get cold and you're going to want to know what your beanie is you're wearing this winter, this is the beanie for you because all the money raised goes to the Brain Cancer Centre. And if you're thinking, I don't know, brain cancer doesn't really affect me in any capacity. Just this week, I've been reminded that it can happen to anyone at any time. On the weekend, I hosted an event outside of Townsville in the Burdekin with a family who was mourning the loss of a father of three, a young father at the prime of his life. Yesterday, I brought you the devastating news of Donna, one of our CB for BC sort of ambassadors who's been there the whole way along. She has lost her life this week. Johnny Ruffo, it was his birthday on Friday, the day we launched Beanies. We didn't know the timing of that, but and we saw his life tragically cut short as well due to brain cancer. It can happen to anyone at any time. So jump online to carriesbeaniesforbraincancer.com and show your support if you can.
Yes, great.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
For your Wednesday, Arvo, coming up after 4 o'clock, $3,100 could be all yours.
So you got lots of tats, right?
I've got a few.
Is there any you wouldn't get? Is there anything off the table?
Probably my forehead. Is that what you mean?
Just a place. You wouldn't get it. But is there any type of tat you wouldn't get or you're open to anything?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to get, like, what do you mean?
Like, well, I'm interested.
There's heaps I wouldn't get.
Like, what sorts of things are off? Like, is it I love Jesus or?
No, I was thinking more hate-based tattoos.
Sure.
Mine are friendly.
Right. So.
I've got a skull.
Yeah.
Rose is going through it.
It's a happy skull.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a tattoo online I'd never seen before. I'm assuming you've seen this because you would have seen all tats, but I'm new to the tat world.
I don't think I have seen all tats because.
Well, I saw this one and immediately I was like, I was with a friend watching it and I was like, ugh. And they were like, that's so cool. And I thought, how personal tats are that one person's ick is another person's that sick, you know?
Are we doing sick or ick? You might have planned to see it early for our first ever version of sick or ick. Is that what we're doing?
Maybe. We...
One person's ick is another person's that's it. Have you got an opener made?
No, I haven't. But no,
I can do it.
Yeah. Jezzy can go and clip up the little conversation we just had then and he can make a little opener in the time that I tell you about this tattoo. Oh,
pressure's on.
No pressure. Oh. Producer Jez. Okay. So in this tat video, it's a couple and the girlfriend bites into the shoulder, the back sort of shoulder blade, upper shoulder area of her partner, like really hard and leaves a bite mark.
Yes.
And then they put like Glad wrap over it. I don't know why, but they put Glad wrap over it.
Goes and gets it.
And then takes it. So I think it's so that it stays red or something, you know, like where all the teeth marks are. Because you see once she's removed her mouth and she must have bitten so hard because you can see all of the teeth marks of her mouth on this back. It almost looks a little bit like a hickey but with teeth, right? Yes. Then she goes to the tattoo shop and they tattoo that bite mark on to the top shoulder.
Can I
all
play?
All the teeth.
Can I play? That's sick.
That's ick.
No, that's sick.
Ick.
Sick.
Ick.
No, I love it because it's just another version of people. It's quite common people will get their lover to put lipstick on and kiss them on their neck or something and then get that tattooed. Yes. And I also think that's sick.
That's better than the teeth mark.
So do you think, hang on, what's your verdict?
Sorry, of
the lipstick?
The lipstick. Six. Is there anything in between?
It's your game.
I know. I feel like I need a
it's got a rhyme.
Sick or ick or that's a for me. But the teeth mark is an absolute ick. Gross.
I think I love all those things that people think are icks. So I remember when Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton, they wore vials of each other's blood around their neck.
Cliche, you know.
Nah, hang on.
Cliche.
Wait. That's not another one. Everything's cliche, Gary.
To be fair, cliche is something that everybody has done, isn't it?
God.
Yeah. But also, that's ick.
Ick. It's just not. Why? Like, is that because you think it's romantic?
Or I do think it's romantic.
Carrying around a vial of
romantic
blood.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good one, Jess. Sick, ick, or romantic. Yes.
So now it's sick, ick, romantic,
or
or cliche.
131060, I want you to bring us the thing that is divisive. It can be a romantic thing or whatever. Just bring it to us and we're going to decide if that is sick or if it gives us the ick. 131060.
Oh, your opener ready?
I don't think my opener is ready. That was not long enough.
Oh, wait, wait,
wait. Oh, wow.
One person's ick is another person's that sick.
Jezzy.
You can get
well
in the
done.
Romantic or the meh.
Or cliche.
Yeah, I feel meh about that. No, oh. I loved it, Jezzy, and I cannot believe you can.
How are you saying you loved it? You know the game we're playing.
What?
Jezzy, that's sick.
That Jezzy, that's sick. 131060. Sick or ick, call us.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and right now on 131060 we're playing this.
One person's ick. Is another person's that sick? Or if, or
cliche.
Or romantic.
Still not happy with the owner.
So the tattoo this girl gave the guy was she bit hard into his upper shoulder, left that's teeth sick. Marks. Then she went to the tattoo shop and got those teeth marks tattooed on sick. Her partner's back. Is sick. It ick or sick?
That's sick.
No, that's ick. That's ick. You shredding is ick. Really?
Yeah.
Did you shred on the project last night?
Yes, I did.
Why? Why did you shred on the project last night?
Maybe I'll bring it to you a bit later in the show.
Oh, will you?
Yeah, maybe I will. That's sick.
Maddie, what have you got? What have you got for us, Maddie?
So I was out partying one night with my friends,
mm-hmm.
and my friend's partner lost his tooth, and my friend decided it would be a good idea to wear his tooth around her neck on a necklace.
Ugh,
that's
ick.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
What do you think, Maddie?
I think it's ick.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially because she wore it for 3 years.
Oh, did it
three
go brown
years.
Or did it preserve?
It preserved.
Wow.
Like, yeah,
I mean, I
otherwise
do keep my kids' teeth for years,
ick.
Forever.
Ick.
Yeah.
Ick.
You
ick.
Do. Don't you? What do you mean you don't?
Ick. Well, he
has not lost
he's
any
not
yet.
He's not lost any yet, but
you'll
I don't
keep
plan.
Them.
Nah.
I kept all their first haircuts and stuff.
Nah, that's
ick.
Weird.
Ick.
It's not ick. In the photo app my mum's got of me as a kid, you open one bit and there's this big lock, like blonde lock of hair. It's my hair from when I was like three.
That's cliche.
Cliche.
Let's go to Harley. G'day, Harley.
Yeah, how you going, Matty?
Yeah, pretty good. What's the thing?
It'd have to be the 90s tribal tattoo.
Oh, that's ick for me.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I can place it.
So think, Harley, I mean, there's a few variations, but I also think of, you know, the armband ones, Harley?
Yeah, that's the exact one I'm talking about.
And, you know, sometimes
from
people.
From the shoulder down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And sometimes people would get, it hurts like on your bicep.
Oh, I can see it now. Oh, that's sick. Nah, it's gross, Harley. Have you got tats, Harley?
Yeah, I got a couple.
What have you got? What's your best?
My best one, probably from my favorite artist, Juice WRLD. It's just 999.
Oh, so, that's sick.
Yeah, it's the difference between good and evil. So,
yeah, because he's a big Juice WRLD fan, and I can tell because
looking
she's
a bit perplexed.
You not know? You would know.
Juice WRLD. Yes, I do know Juice WRLD from my son, actually, but I didn't know the 999.
Ah,
but now I do. Thank you, Harley.
Good on you, Harley. That's sick.
What about Ashley? What have you got for us? Is it sick or ick, Ashley?
I reckon it's ick. My partner and I were going on a holiday, and he was going to have his brother cat sit, our cat.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into a fight because he said his brother was going to sleep in our bed because we didn't have any other spare beds. And I said, that's not happening.
But hang on, fresh sheets on the bed?
Even with fresh sheets, it's still weird.
Why?
No, it's not. Sorry. This is not
well, I
sick,
think it's
though.
Personal stuff and
oh, do you
everything
want me to
in
use
the room.
The romantic one, yeah.
Have you got the That's what that one is for me.
Hold on, I need to persecute this argument a bit more. Prosecute.
That's sick. I've never seen someone persecute
end
an argument.
The argument. Persecute it. I need to prosecute this.
What are you going to do? Are you going to this argument? Or are you going to romantic this argument?
Actually, is it that you're worried that he was going to go through your stuff, or that when you got back, just the idea in your head that when you were getting romantic with your partner, you'd have to remember that his brother had been in the bed? What's the bit that...
I think it's both.
But fresh sheet. Yeah. You're not actually in the bed.
What's in your drawers that you're worried that he's going to find, Ashley?
Oh, just everything, I'm sure. Everyone's got stuff in their bedside drawers, right?
That's sick.
What about Ella? Ella, what have you got for us?
When people get portraits of their partner tattooed on them and they're like realistic.
Yeah. I've only really seen them, Ella, when they've gone horribly wrong.
Because you've got portraits of people on your body, but just not.
Yeah, my partners. That's Michael Jordan. That's Michael. It's Jean-Michel Basquiat.
Carrie and Tommy. Yeah, and we are roasting Tommy Little for the Melbourne International Comedy Fest. We're going to meet our first roaster very soon.
It does
soon.
Sound very funny when you're saying we're roasting him. It's like we're hooking you up and then turn you round and round and round.
What heat would you
slice
like?
Slice a bit off as we go.
Slow cook?
Nah. Turn it to burn. That's fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's savage.
The Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's the best time of the year in Melbourne. My show is also on sale now as well. So I'd love to see you there. But right now.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
Time Game Jackpots Weekly.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
When exactly 5 seconds is up. This week, the jackpot is up to...
$3,100.
Carrie and Tommy's Time Game.
Do you want to do a quick one now? Because quickie.
Alicia there.
I'll try. G'day, Alicia.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Why?
Hey?
Don't understand why.
I don't know. I think it's a cut-through thing. Alicia, have you ever won a big sum of money before?
I have not, okay. No, but I'm hoping this is my time.
Well, this is getting up there. It's $3,100. You know what to do when Jesse says start. You say stop. It's if it's exactly 5 seconds, the money is yours. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Start.
Stop.
Oh, he's gone very quiet. A little ferret, hasn't he?
Oh, he always does.
Alicia, you're right.
I don't know why we have never asked this question before. Mm. Where did you learn to speak English?
What do you mean? I'm English first language.
No, I know that. But I went to a school with humans. Where did you go to school?
I went to a human school as well.
No, he's homeschooled. That's what I was doing. You never noticed the work that I put in.
You raised this ferret.
Yes. I'm his mum, aren't I?
Are you?
Aren't I?
You gave birth to a ferret.
I thought in this make-believe world, I'm his mum.
There's no make-believe world.
Yeah, why?
Okay. 131060 if you want to play. On, in the meantime. On. Oh, we haven't found out how Alicia went.
How did Alicia go for $3,100?
Five.
Oh, that's a good start.
Point.
Okay.
6-0.
Grateful.
Just before you fully die, Alicia, would you like to come?
She's dead, Carrie.
And see Tommy Little's roast, Alicia?
I would love to. Yes,
right,
absolutely.
Right. She's back.
Quick, kick her again. Kick her again.
No.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
It's your Wednesday arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Time, bobine, banana, banana, bobine, bee, bobine. Time game. Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Now, Carrie, what you are proposing here makes no sense.
What?
Because you are proposing that we give dead people tickets to come and see a comedy roast.
Ooh, they can come back from the dead.
No, they can't. We're going to have dead bodies in
the
audience.
Well, let's just say now, to all of the people that take part, they can come to the roast.
But they're dead.
And then we just won't.
Oh, we just weekend at Bernie's, the audience.
Oh, that's true. We could put marionette strings up.
And the crowd goes, wow.
Emma, if you live or die, you're getting to come see the roast of Tommy Little.
Amazing.
Great.
Do you want to win $3,100 as well, Em?
Absolutely.
This is your chance. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Start.
Stop.
You're still there, Emma.
Smack bang on 5 seconds is what we were looking for. It did feel long. It felt a little long. Em, how did it feel to you?
Too too early.
Oh, too early. Your relationship with time needs some
work. Terrible.
How do you feel about being propped up like a marionette puppet with your body at a roast show? It's confusing.
I don't understand either, Emma. How did
Emma might miss it entirely.
How did Emma go ferret
and
boy?
It gets even more confusing. It's just a ferret. He's not a ferret boy.
He's my ferret boy. Remember, I'm his mum.
Who did you sleep with to give birth to a ferret?
I haven't worked that bit out.
What is happening?
Emma, it's not confusing.
Let's let the ferret explain it to you. Emma. At some time in the week, we do segments where I'm I'm Jesse's mum and Tommy's Jesse's dad.
I'm not his dad.
And then other times in the segment, Jesse's a ferret. And sometimes I get mixed up.
That's the other Jesse.
Yeah, that's not.
I'm the ferret.
Just look at him. He's a fairy.
And I've mixed them up. And today I've said that I'm his ferret mother.
Hold on, are you both of our mothers?
Oh, my God. Are you brothers with the other Jesse?
I'm just finding it out.
I know.
I've got a brother.
The other Jesse does have facial hair, and actually, now that you mention it, looks a bit ferrety.
How did Emma go?
Confused. We've just established that, Carrie.
7.40.
Is that the longest we've ever had?
It's close to it. I reckon we had an 8 once.
G'day, Nicole.
Hi, how you going?
Would you describe yourself as an 8?
No, maybe a 7, 6.
Okay.
Do you understand what's happening in the studio today?
Yes, and I hope my phone doesn't die because it's on 5%.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a sign, isn't it?
Are you ready? Are you ready, Nicole?
Yes.
Start.
Stop.
Oh, that felt so good. Nicole, imagine if we go to tell you that you're dead or alive and your phone dies.
Oh, no.
But imagine if Carrie and Tommy. Your phone that dies.
I know. That's the, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh, mummy's angry.
Not my mummy.
I think you should just tell her quickly before her phone dies.
But what if there's things to discuss?
No, this is really mean.
Why is it mean, though? How am I being mean?
Help a sister out.
Help a sister. Which? You're my sister.
Hold on.
Nicole, you've made this so confusing.
It's a lot to find out on air, isn't it?
It's heaps. Yeah. Nickers, I'm so sorry. How old are you?
I'm 34.
Oh, what? You're my youngest sissy.
Yeah, that's it.
Sissy.
Okay, stop talking. She's got 5%. How did she go,
God,
Jesse?
I don't want to hear him. I've just met my sister. And
she might be about to die.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I'll plan everything, Nicole. Don't worry.
We do the eulogy?
Yeah. I didn't know her long. God.
It was the best five seconds of my life.
Oh, do you reckon? How did Nicole go?
4.82.
Oh, for me as well.
Yes, sis can come to the roast, no, producer, Georgia.
Stop bringing up bad memories.
Mitchell,
for me.
You don't want to see her again? Oh, Mitchell, how are
see
you?
See her again. It would be the first.
Good, how are you guys?
Sorry, Mitch. Are we related, Mitchell?
I hope not.
Oh, now I actually really want to be. This is a double sting. Mitch, are you ready to go?
I'm ready when you guys are.
Start.
Stop.
That felt on the
shorter side.
Oh, that's rude.
Do you get told that often, Mitchell?
Ooh. A lot by my partner, especially.
Okay.
Especially. And some others, you know.
Yeah, but mainly. Mainly the main squeeze. How did Mitchell go?
4.35.
It's still
very short.
He's very short was his final words.
Put it on his tombstone.
But it's a tiny tombstone. G'day, Rach.
Hey.
Rachel, welcome to the just a stock standard radio show. Are you ready to go, Rach?
Sure am.
Start.
Stop.
What happened, Rachel?
Panicked.
You panicked? Did you feel on the shorts?
That was like 3 seconds.
Hey, whatever happens, Rach, do you want to come to the roast of Tommy Little?
No, I'm good.
It started.
Do you want to push her out this time?
Oh, Rach, you've got a boot coming your way if this is short. How did Rachel go?
4.07.
Oh, my God. That was...
Jackpot's next week. Carrie and
Tommy. Driving you home for your Wednesday, Arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's a big moment. It is time to welcome our first ever roaster for the Roast of Tommy Little.
It's time for friends to become enemies. Welcome to the Roast of Tommy Little.
Oh, wow, wow! I said our Tommy's friends are here. His friends. People he loves the most. They are all lining up and they're gonna roast on. Tommy's roast is here and Carrie is our host. Tommy will definitely not have friends after the roast.
Wow, wow.
He will cry no.
Laugh Out Loud from March 27 to April 21 at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with hundreds of local and international acts. Browse the program and book now at comedyfestival.com.au.
This is exciting, yeah, because
we thought we'd start very close to home. Someone who's lived with you so they know all about what happens behind closed doors.
My mum.
This roaster, is it? It's such a huge guest that we've tried to get this guest on our show many times and they often decline us. So it's a great get that we've managed to get him. So no, not your mum. He's even flying into state for the roast. He's so excited to be doing it. He is the star of Utopia. Would you please welcome Luke McGregor?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I just have to let you know that I have to pull out.
I am so excited about this, Luke. Tell me the first thing that you think of, without giving away all your gear for the night, the first thing you think of that you want to play with when it comes to Tommy.
Well, we live together, so I feel like that. I've got like a year's worth of stuff that I've just been writing down, not knowing that I'd have a roast coming up, but just in case. So.
Luke, was it a subtle dig from Carrie in her introduction, do you think, to mention a show that you played a brief acting role in instead of the show that you wrote and created and ran for multiple seasons on the ABC, Rosehaven?
It was. I was in Utopia for 2 seasons. You could have said, like, please like me. I was in one episode of that. Just one of the Marvel movies, which I'm not in. Brutal.
Which one would you like to be in, if I could say, and please welcome the star of?
Thor 2, The Dark World.
Okay.
And do you take over an existing character's role? Are you Thor in it?
I play The Dark World. I play the an entire background.
I would love to see a cameo of you as yourself.
It would be good. And I feel like this is the catalyst. Yeah. I've invited Kevin Feige to the roast, so it should be done.
I mean, I don't know who Kevin Fogarty is, but I assume he has something to do with the creation of it.
Oh, Kevin Fogarty is king of Marvel.
And is it those type of niche references that we can expect on the night?
Well, his real name's Kevin Feige, so I'm not even sure if people are going to get the Kevin Fogarty joke. Like, it's a... Anyway, that's the sort of stuff I'll bring to the roast.
You are known as being a beautiful, warm human being. Obviously, a roast is about picking apart people. Have you ever done a roast before?
No, not that's not food related.
Yeah.
I was just going to go on Fiverr and pay someone to do it for me. We'll just chat GPT and I'm not quite sure yet.
Does it make you excited or nervous?
Nervous. Because I don't want to bomb at a roast because people also get to roast me afterwards. So I don't want to, I don't know, it feels, you know, what's out of bounds?
That's a very good question. Is there anything out of bounds?
For me, absolutely not. No.
Great, tick that off the list. No, good for us both to know, Luke.
For me, anything that sort of makes me feel sad or puts me down, I don't want to do that. That's kind of off limits.
Isn't that the right whole point?
Yeah, so you deal with that with what you, but you know, have fun. But anything that makes me, like just anything that makes me look bad in front of the crowd, don't do it.
Luke, how are you going to get yourself, because it is quite far away from your natural disposition, how are you going to get into roast mode, do you reckon?
I'm going to pretend that we're not friends and you've done a lot of mean things to me and then just write that, I guess, is the plan. But I'll probably just not go at the last minute.
Hey, do you have a preference? And again, this is pre-roast stuff, so I'm you know, now legitimately just trying to look after you. I don't know the rest of the roasters at this point. Do you have a preference of where you'd like to be in the lineup? Do you want to kick things off, or do you want to go in the middle? Or?
That's a great question. Actually, I don't know. Maybe I'll go in the middle, or first or last. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Do you have walkout music or anything you want, like, to pump you up as we're welcoming you?
Maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme.
Oh, that's great. Can you crush beer cans together and skull them?
Yeah. Afterwards.
Luke McGregor, once again, I will not say this on the night without a joke attached to it, but I love you a lot and I can't wait to see you there.
Love you too, buddy, and I'm sad that our friendship's ending this way.
On a genuine note, is there any friends you think who are coming to this roast, Luke included, that there is a chance it could affect your friendship afterwards?
No. Oh, sorry. No. I mean, depending who you've got, if we didn't have a great friendship to begin with, maybe, but...
But you don't think there's nothing that you're going to say to each other that could be irreparable damage?
I don't think so. Maybe Tommy's housemate, Johnny, but otherwise, no, I think you're pretty good.
We'll see you at the roast, Luke.
See you, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
Carrie and Tommy.
It's Carrie and Tommy, thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how they're getting a net zero. Find out more at alintaenergy.com.au/truepower.
This roast is exciting me so much. Chatting to Luke then has got me fired up.
Yes.
Up next, we're going to bring your next roaster to you. And this one should make you very, very nervous.
Well, if you want to be there to see friendships put to the test, carrieandtommy.com.au is where you can get tickets.
Also still to come, flight attendant has told us the one thing we should not do on a plane. And it's something all of us would do almost every single flight, and we shouldn't be doing it. And she's going to tell us why up later.
Sorry, Carrie, was I meant to say something when you went?
Just, scared or something.
Okay, next time I will, sorry.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
If you missed the big news yesterday, we are throwing the biggest party we've had this year, the roast of Tommy Little.
It's time for friends to become enemies. Welcome to the roast of Tommy Little.
Oh, wow, wow!
I said our Tommy's friends are here. His friends. People, he loves them all. They are all lining up and they're gonna roast them. Tommy's roast is here, so and Carrie is a host. Tommy will definitely not have friends after the roast.
Wow, wow.
He will cry no
doubt. Laugh out loud from March 27 to April 21 at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with hundreds of local and international acts. Browse the program and book now at comedyfestival.com.au.
It's my great pleasure to announce our second roaster for the roast of Tommy Little. This roaster, he's younger than you, but I don't think he's going to respect his elders in this case. He's also a former radio rival, if you count Triple J, Brekkie. I think we do. He's also one of the best roasters in the business. This is him roasting UK comedian Sarah Pascoe.
Then the Sarah Pascoe, female comedian, good gimmick. Sarah does jokes about the human body and feminism and sexual politics. Oh, sorry. I'm on. I don't know when your show is on, but I'm busy. Sarah's a vegan because she's against cruelty to animals, and yet she continues to perform her comedy in front of sentient human beings. When will the cruelty end, Sarah?
He says he only roasts the one he loves. Please welcome Tom Ballard.
Yeah. Hello, you losers, you stupid idiots. You suck. You're ugly and bad. Oh, and I think you suck.
Make it stop. TB, this is wonderful news for the show. I don't know how I feel about it personally.
Oh, you're scared, little, are you? You're worried. You can't handle the heat.
When's the last time you did a roast?
I'm trying to think.
think now that probably that debate was 2016. Mm-hmm. I got to roast Jimmy Carr at Montreal just last festival. Mm-hmm. Maybe the next year after that, and then when he came to Australia, we recreated the roast for Tonight Lee, so nobody saw that. So that was pretty good. He did beat me, but he cheated by being funnier, which I did not appreciate. So I've been raring to go for a long time. I love roasts. Comedy roasts are the best, and people saying the crookest stuff in the world about the people they love. It's a wonderful time, and you're going to suffer a lot, and it's going
to
be funny.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you. Of all the people I know, in certainly in this country, I would have thought, perhaps to this offer, you said yes the quickest. How many seconds was it between when they asked you, would you like to roast me, and you said yes?
Well, first I thought it was a sexual thing, and I said, yes, please get me there straight away. And then they said, no, it's just a comedy thing. And I was like, oh, am I getting paid? And they said, no. I said, well, I'm not busy on that night, and so I, you know, why not? And then I thought, oh, no, I get to insult a good friend of mine and talk about... I've been racking my brains. You're an attractive, rich man who's very successful, who has sex with lots of women. So I'm going to have to think hard about how I go about
that's
this.
It's so but nice sure that we also have the opposite of that, which is you now on the show.
Ooh, it begins.
It's good to have a bit of yin and yang
going. Just so I understand, Tom, as a previous roaster, what's the balance between how much you roast Tommy and how much he gets to roast you back?
Well, traditionally, the subject of the roast has a right of reply at the end, right? So at the very end of things, they get to stand up and then roast the entire panel and talk about why they suck. And that's often, that's fair enough. Because if you are just the focus of the roast, you are literally just watching an hour or whatever of your dearest friends talk about how much you are the worst person in the world and really getting to all your insecurities. So it's fair enough to get a reply, and that's often the highlight of the roast. But before then, we'll have a lot of fun talking about his many shortcomings.
I don't think people realise, Tom, that I think if they thought about this in their own work capacity, they think it would be an awful event, and why would you do that? I don't think people realise it for comedians. A comedy roast is kind of literally what happens backstage at our gigs all the
time. Is it?
So, yeah, that's how we talk to each other. You show love and you express love by talking about how much you think that person sucks and is the worst and is fat and not funny and failing in every facet of that world. It's an Australian approach. It's a comedian approach to things. And I think as a comedian, if someone roasts you and it's a really funny joke, you can't be offended. You just have to respect the craft, right? Like if they get you in an amazing way, you're like, hey, fair play to you. That's great work.
I find it surprising because I have had the pleasure of working with most of this country's comedians, and I've never met more insecure bunch of people. So the fact that you all pretend you're fine with being absolutely shat upon surprises me.
We didn't say we don't go home and cry.
Yes, sure. But when you're in the room, you laugh along, you go, ha, 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 yeah, that is funny. Good luck, guys. I'm cool. We all love each other. And then,
have you seen the lineup? We haven't announced the full lineup yet, but if you could pick your favourite people to be a part of this roast with us, who would you pick?
Oh, wish list.
Oh, man. Sam Kerr would be pretty great. I think she'd she'd roast you real good.
Yes.
Jimmy Carr is pretty incredible, having got up against him, I must say.
We don't have Jimmy Carr. Yep.
We don't have Jimmy Carr. All right.
We have Sam Kerr.
Sam Kerr's busy.
No, those legal issues will be over soon. Tom, I will get this out of the way before the actual roast. I love you very much and thank you for being involved and I can't wait.
I love you too, Tommy. And look, just don't mention my sexuality, okay? That's my only condition. You can't do any gay jokes.
Sorry, I'm just ripping up my page. And I guess we'll start again.
Hey, before we let you go, Tom, tell us about your show that you're touring though.
Oh, it's called Good Point Well Made. Yes, it's heading all over the country and it's very, very funny. It talks about the referendum and about politics in America and the fact that I stand up to wipe my ass. So there's something for everyone there. And I love people. We don't have time. We don't have time to get into it.
Okay.
Can I just ask one question? Why do you stand up and ask? Or do I have to? Or do I have to go see it to find out?
We don't have time.
I'm interested.
We don't have time. I don't know if how I was raised. I don't know. But talk to Judy and Neil Ballard. They raised me.
I don't reckon Judy's doing it. But anyway, Tom Ballard.
I did ask her. I asked her because I'm asking everyone ever since I started talking about this. I said to Mum, "When you stand up and sit down?" And she said, "Tom, please go back to uni." That was a direct quote.
Tom Ballard, we'll see you at the roast.
Thanks, Tim.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home, the Savo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
One of our great mates is about to join the show. I have one question for him and one question only. Would you please welcome Dave Hughes?
Yes, Hughesy.
I'm a one question wonder. That's how I operate at my best.
Why? I often watch your socials from your brilliant brekkie show, often with the sound off, to be honest. So I don't always have the context, but that's like how I like to listen to radio.
You're
with
a visual,
the sound off.
Visuals person.
Why have you started wearing sunglasses at 6 a.m. in the morning in studio? You look ridiculous, and I need an explanation.
Yeah, no, it was, look, to be honest, when you guys called me, I thought it was someone who might have found my spectacles. I lost my spectacles, and the only glasses I've got that have got a prescription in them now are my sunglasses. So the only way I can read the screen, the monitors in the morning, is by wearing my sunglasses.
I just reckon don't read the screen and don't wear the glasses. Honestly, it's like something's happened and you've lost your mind and we're watching you unravel.
No, look, it's a vibe, you know. It's a vibe.
It's not.
It is a vibe, but it's a vibe that should come with a Labrador.
There's a bit of Ray Charles going on. There's no doubt about it. It's Stevie Wonder, but you know, it's
beloved figures though.
They're really talented people. So, you know, I once got told by a friend of mine that I was better looking the more I covered my face. So, you know, I think that was a compliment.
I'm just concerned because one of the other more recent videos I saw of you that I stumbled across, and I'll be honest, at first I wasn't sure what I was watching because it was late at night and I'd had a couple of drinks, and it was just you playing with cats.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, I haven't had my eyes scratched out by cats. But a cat cafe is not a fun place to go to, I don't reckon. So it's not fun for you. It's not fun for the cats. Yeah. So, man. Oof, I'm just, and don't eat the muffins that they serve at the cat cafes. Oh. I wouldn't, but they serve muffins. Some people love cat cafes, so I'm not here to.
I've been to one before, Hughes, and I really expected, I don't know why, but it not to smell like it was a cat cafe. But then when you walk in and you can smell it,
and then people are
eating food, and you're like, what's happening?
Mate. I was speaking to one of the workers there who loves cats, and he was denied cats in his home country of Colombia. His parents wouldn't let him have a cat, so he moved to Australia and worked at a cat cafe. But even he said the kitty litter room is horrendous.
Okay.
And there was a Mexican restaurant next to the cat cafe. I was at, so God help their
business.
Okay,
so we've got to the bottom of that. Until you get a new pair of glasses, we have to watch you wear your sunglasses in studio every morning.
I think my glasses might be in the car somewhere, like surrounding me right now. I think they're here somewhere. So
well, find
are you
them.
Able to see them? Have you got your sunnies on?
I do have my sunnies on, so I hear what you're saying, but you know what? And without context, it does look quite disturbing. But you know what? I'm a disturbing sort of guy, I'm wrong with it.
One quick question before we let you go. You're fully aware we're doing the roast of Tommy Little, which unfortunately you cannot be a part of, which has bummed me out.
I know,
because you would have been brilliant.
A video. Can I send a video?
Maybe.
Even just
Tommy's
for our...
Like, he's a good roaster himself. He doesn't hold back.
No, well, I was going to ask you, since you're not going to be there in the night, which has disappointed me, do you want to just have a go now? What would be the area you would play in if you could?
I mean, there's a lot to play with Tommy. There's so much I can say and not say. So we had a recent conversation, didn't we, Tommy? Should I bring you some of that up? That conversation we had?
I can't remember what that was.
You might remember it about your lifestyle and, you know, what goes on, Tommy. You remember Tommy?
That's a real nervous laugh there.
I don't, but that's probably more due to that lifestyle.
We would love a video message from you, Hughes. If you want to do us one for the roast, we'd be absolutely delighted to play. Good luck finding your glasses.
All right, thanks, legends.
You're the best, Hughes. Thank you.
If you want to catch Hughesy live, his show is hitting the Gold Coast this Saturday. DaveHughes.com.au is where you need to go.
Carrie and Tommy.
You're taking over today and bringing us a bit of music biz.
I'm just going to pick up my tools because the Splendour in the Grass lineup has been announced.
Who am I going to see this year?
Hey, some of your favourites, Viagra Boys.
Yep.
Baby Gravy. DJ Seinfeld?
Oh, like Jerry?
No, I don't think so. But I will play for you one of the the big artists that is, has been announced. Kylie Minogue.
Oh my God.
Has been announced for Splendor. Future has been announced for Splendor. G Flip.
Amazing.
Tones and I.
Wow.
The Presets. Tash Sultana.
Oh, I'm going again.
Party Boy 69.
Party Boy 69. Because I spent most of my time at Last Splendor in the Poof Doof tent. Which is a tent where they just play the best music on the planet. I reckon Kylie would absolutely go off in that tent.
Yes. You didn't want to
they
say it again.
They would love her. In the yeah. I mean, that's what it's called.
Yeah, I know, but my why name you only say it once then?
Because it felt uncomfortable to say, but it is the name of the tent. And
yeah, but
rocked.
Again, it feels weird that you only say it once.
So which artist are we playing in back-to-back today?
I was going to let you pick out of those ones.
I reckon.
Did you want Viagra Boys? Or...
I reckon we get a bit of, what was the Party 69 on?
Party Boy 69. did you not notice there was no DJ Queef on the lineup?
No. Yep, thank goodness, because DJ Queef at the moment is still learning how to cue the next song.
DJ Queef.
DJ Queef.
In the mix.
DJ Queef. Is that what I'm aiming for?
What do you mean?
Have I got to get a set together for Splendor? When's
Splendor? What do you mean? The lineup's been announced.
Oh, I'm sure they can put the Venga Boys to the
it's always in like Augusty, September-y.
That's time. That's time.
No, it's not. The lineup's been announced.
Yeah, but maybe I can perform at the Puff Puff tent.
Are you about ready to perform now? Because you've been doing it for about 2 months.
Nah, I told you, I've just learned to cue the next song.
So you have learned now to download music?
No, I'm just using music someone else has got. Honestly, it's a long, slow road to DJ.
Should we get...
How fun.
I thought it was a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, but I didn't know it's a
long, the DJing's very different. It's just road. Long and slow.
DJ. What about we get some Tones and I on?
Brilliant.
And who is it thanks to, Jesse?
It's all thanks to Ingham's Chicken. Who doesn't love tasty, crunchy, delicious chicken for dinner? Grab some Ingham's Chicken on the way home. Always tasty, always good.
That could be DJ Quiff's first sponsorship partner.
Ingham's Chicken.
Bok, bok.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie and Tommy.
It's time for Bickmore's Mile High.
Bits.
Here we go now. Yes, speaking of losing control, I've got some aviation bits for you today.
Do you?
What do you want first? Do you want the pilots that fell asleep? Do you want the people that hit the roof in the Boeing plane? Or do you want what you absolutely should not eat while you're on a plane?
Should not eat on a plane.
Okay, so... flight attendants have explained that you should never drink tea or coffee on a plane.
Why?
They say they don't unless they're desperate because apparently the machine that makes it is never, ever, ever washed. They say like it's never cleaned. It takes months before it gets cleaned. They say that unless they're super desperate, we will not drink the tea or coffee that's supplied on planes. The coffee and the tea come from the exact same spot, which is why it all tastes a bit samey. And they say that the airlines tell passengers they do regular water quality tests, but they're about 6 to 9 months it takes for one test to get completed on one plane.
That's all right, isn't it?
Well, I was a bit confused because it is the hot water tank and I thought hot water was kind of like a sterilisation thing.
Well, I was just thinking, I've never once cleaned my kettle.
No, that is true. But would you clean a coffee machine?
What's a coffee machine?
Like a coffee machine.
Like, I don't have a coffee machine. What do you mean?
Okay,
what's
just hypothetically.
Sorry,
would you
but I mean like a pod, yes, like a pod machine?
Yes, where hot water and coffee's all sort of mixing through and stuff.
One of the barista...
Oh my God, just an at-home coffee machine. The point I'm making is perhaps if it's got other things like coffee or tea coming through it, maybe it's different to just being a kettle, you know?
Yeah. So have you got a coffee machine?
I do, but I don't use it.
Right, because it's not clean.
It actually isn't, no. I prefer to get mine from the barista himself.
Isn't that your son?
Nah. Yes, sorry, it is him, but at the shop he works, not at my house. did you see that all the people that hit the roof of the Boeing flight yesterday? How's this? They were on board the flight. There was 50 people that were injured when suddenly, out of nowhere, the plane just took a nosedive and people just flew out and hit their heads on the top. People were thrown back 4 or 5 aisles, seats back in the aisle.
Yes, rows.
Rows? Being thrown back 4 or 5 aisles.
I thought I'm really getting stuck on nitpicky bits. I thought rows were downways and aisles were across. So your aisle is A, B, C and your row is 1, 2, 3.
I thought.
Or have I got that?
I thought your aisle would be 32 would be one aisle, 33 would be one aisle, 34.
Yeah, see, I thought they were rows.
Mm.
Okay. Sorry, Carrie.
Anyway, it's not the first time Boeing's had an issue, because Boeing was the one last time. Remember the window got sucked out?
Yes. This is, was that the emergency door that got opened? No.
No, the one where they had to hold the kid down and people's mobile phones like flew out the hole.
And they said if he wasn't strapped into the seat,
he would have been sucked out. Yeah, I know. And the final thing I wanted to talk about, and this is a bit of a warning really for you now that you're in piloting world. Two pilots have fallen asleep midair for half an hour. So they boarded the flight, and one of them's a sleep-deprived new father of twins. He's very tired. And it was him and his co-captain. Yeah. And about an hour in, he said, hey, are you cool if I have a nap? I said, no worries. So he lay down, had an hour nap, and he woke up from it and said, do you need, you know, any help? And the guy said, no, 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 I keep napping. So he went back to sleep. And the next time he woke up, he looked over and his other guy was asleep.
Oh, my
God. And they looked at where they were, and they'd completely veered off course, and they were going like a different direction.
But they're alive.
Yes, he managed to get the aircraft back on course. And the plane was fine and everything, everyone's okay. No one was injured, but how's that? Just a little nappy nap in the cockpit.
So you can sleep for half an hour and everyone's fine.
I mean, that's not the moral of the story.
But they're fine, right?
Yes, in this case they are.
What a gig.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up, thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.